We're glad to see all of you this evening. I hope you'll take out your Bibles and follow along. We're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs again tonight. It's not going to be a textual study where we go verse by verse, because at this point, the proverb writer doesn't do that. He just kind of throws scriptures together and we pick from them and do the best we can. So as we study from the book of Proverbs, we understand it is a source of wisdom. And as I said, now the approach to studying the book of Proverbs changes. We're going to use a topical study rather than a textual study. And what that means is we're going to pick out a topic from the book of Proverbs and look at it and pick out the scriptures that he uses and talk about that topic instead of going verse by verse by verse. We're going to note recurring themes throughout this book and what's left of it. And a good topic, I think, to begin with is the fear of the Lord. It's described in the book of Proverbs in chapter 1 and verse 7 as this the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the proverb writer says. And he also says in chapter 9 and verse 10 that it is the beginning of wisdom. So we examined the fear of the Lord earlier in an earlier lesson, but I think it's important for us to live wisely and to justify, and that this would justify another look. So let's begin by looking at and understanding the fear of the Lord. When we talk about the understanding of the fear of the Lord, we need to understand what the meaning of the word fear is. In the Hebrew, the word is yara. And in the Old Testament, it had a threefold meaning. It could mean dread or terror. Like in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 29 through 30, he said, I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God who has gone before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. It's very similar to what God told Jacob in leaving after the massacre of Shechem. Jacob was afraid, remember, of the political recourse, and God told Jacob, don't worry about the people. I'm going to be with you. Don't be afraid. And just like in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 10, when the men became extremely frightened, they said to Jonah, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So it's meant in the term of dread or terror, but it's also meant in the form of to stand in awe in reference to a king. Like in 1 Kings 3, verse 28, the New American Standard Bible says, when all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. It also means to revere, to respect in regards to parents. And we see an example of that in Leviticus 19 and verse 3. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. In the book of Leviticus, God is giving his law to the children of Israel as they're traveling through the wilderness. And he tells them to reverence their mother and father, revere, have a certain measure of fear, reverential fear for your parents. But we notice on Mount Sinai, another example of this, when God descended, how the mountain quaked, how it shook, and as some would say, it had geographical convulsions. We see that in Exodus 20, verses 18 through 20. It says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings, the flashes, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. They didn't want to go near it because they were afraid. Moses encouraged these Israelite leaders. He says here in verse 20, said to the people, and that should underline the phrase, do not fear. He says, don't be afraid. Everything that's taking place, this is God. Do not have this fear that we've been talking about. And he says, for God has come to test you so that you may not sin. So the proper kind of fear here that we're talking about is a fear that causes us to stand in awe, to revere and to respect. And when we're talking about being in the presence of God, that's the type of fear we need. A fear that causes us to have a respect for who He is, the God of creation. And why shouldn't we? When you read about God throughout the pages of Scripture, what does it tell us about Him in Genesis, in the account of creation? God said, "Let there be light," and there was. He can speak into existence things. His very presence can cause a mountain to quake and to shiver and to rumble. Why shouldn't we have that reverential fear, respect, and awe for Him? But there is a role that this plays in the life of a Christian in understanding the fear of the Lord. We are to fear God and not man. There may be people that would come tell you, there's a storm coming up tonight. You don't need to go to church. How many weather people are telling people right now, you probably don't need to make any plans for tonight? You know, that's what I watched when I saw the weather this morning. They said, if you're going to do anything, do it this morning. If you're going to play golf, do it early in the morning, because around lunchtime, you're going to need to take cover. If you're going to do anything for Mother's Day, do it in the morning, because you're going to need to take cover about noontime. If we listened to man, we would be the most terrified people in this world. There used to be a weather woman in Nashville that the least little bit of lightning and a threat of a thunderstorm come up, and she was in a tizzy. She couldn't stand it. It was just all she could do. Y'all need to be careful. You need to be ready. It's going to be bad. And you might get a few sprinkles. But if we live our life based upon what man tells us, we lose that fear of God because we become more afraid of what man tells us. We see in Matthew 10 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." People in this world can help you to destroy your soul by leading you or misleading you, but you need to follow the Lord. You need to have a more reverent fear of God. You know, when you read about the New Testament church, that early church walked in the fear of the Lord. We read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31 that the church had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It multiplied. It grew because they had a reverent fear of God. You know, when you read the book of Acts, it gives you accounts, updates, if you will, on the church. And this is one of those times that it tells you why the church was growing. The people feared the Lord. They were afraid. And because they were afraid of God, they were going to do exactly what He said do. And we're also told that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2 and verse 12. And we're told that we should be fearful of apostasy, of falling away. And we need to serve God with fear, with a godly fear. That's what we read about in passages like Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 31. So the fear of the Lord is expressed in a reverential submission. We need to be reverent toward the Lord in our fear toward Him and do it out of a respect because of who He is. With proper understanding of the fear of the Lord, we're more likely to appreciate the value of the fear of the Lord that's revealed in this book of Proverbs. But it's more to this fear of the Lord than just understanding what it means. We've got to appreciate the fear of the Lord. When we have this fear of the Lord in our lives, certain things are going to happen. When I have a fear of the Lord, I'm going to hate evil. I'm going to hate the bad things that happen in this life. The proverb writer tells us that in Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate, he writes. Now, we cannot go through this life in our society and claim to fear the Lord and love the world at the same time. You cannot serve God and mammon, Jesus would tell us. In essence, he's saying, you can't straddle the fence in this world. You can't have one foot in the door on Sunday and the rest of the week you're in the world. It doesn't work that way. You have to serve the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And some of you might say, well, Jeff, you just don't get it, do you? Yeah, I get it. I understand completely. If I say I want to be in the world for 2 weeks out of the year, I get a vacation, I'm going to go to Florida and I'm going to let my hair down. Where is the fear of the Lord at when you do that? Well, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go to the prom, and I'm going to wear, if I'm a girl, I'm going to wear the sexiest outfit that I can, because it only happens 4 times in my high school year, and I'm going to dress that way because I can. Well, where's the fear of the Lord at? I'm going to go to this dance, or I'm going to go do that. Where's the fear of the Lord? If I fear the Lord, I'm going to steer clear of those things. When we understand and appreciate the fear of the Lord, not only will we hate evil, but we need to understand it will prolong our life. The proverb writer again tells us that in chapter 10 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. And there are going to be some of you that will say, well, you know, I know a man that was 100 years old. Now, you read these stories and hear these stories online, these people that are 100 years old, and they say, well, what's your secret to longevity? And a man might say, well, I smoke one cigar a day and I drink 2 Budweisers a day and I'm good. Still, where's the fear of the Lord? And somebody might say, well, now look at him. He's lived 100 years. But who says he's had a good life? I'd rather live to be 60 and have a faithful life to the Lord than live 100 years and have a wicked life. Because even at the end of that 100 years, if I've lived a life unfaithful to the Lord, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. You'll have happy days while you are living, appreciating the fear of God. But also he says that we will have confidence and a fountain of life. That's what he tells us in the 14th chapter. Verses 26 and 27. He says, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. You think about that. How many of you fellas, when you were growing up, had somebody say, come on, let's go do this? And you know in your mind of minds that as soon as you do it, you're going to be in trouble. Because it's dangerous. My daddy used to, he comes up with some stories, and he laughs about them now. I took him down to see his brother before he died, and they got to talking about growing up. My daddy put a saddle on a cow one time. And you would think, I don't need to do that. Not my daddy. He put a saddle on that cow, no bridle, so the cow took off, and all he could do was hold on for dear life until she run through the breezeway of the barn. Now, I love my daddy to death, but this may explain a lot of things. Because in the breezeway of the barn, the ground goes up about a foot or two because the manure and everything has been built up and packed down over the years. But when the floor comes up, that means the rafters come down. And he didn't duck. And he got brought off the cow the hard way. And he talks about jumping in creeks head first and hitting his head on a big rock, knocking himself out. And I remember sitting at the dining room table on Sundays and him telling these stories in front of his mama and her going, I didn't know that. And her in her 80s. I'm trying to tell you that some things that we make a decision about in life are just dumb. I love my daddy to death, but he'll tell you he has done some dumb things in his life. And if I ask for a show of hand here, men and women, has anybody here ever done anything dumb? I have. But the older I get, hopefully the older we get, we realize that there is longevity to walking in the fear of the Lord. It will help guide us down a much safer path in life. And also he tells us that with the fear of the Lord, we'll be prompted to depart from evil. In chapter 16 and verse 6, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. So the question needs to be asked then, how much do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord and fear him enough that you're going to shun sin, the evilness in this world? Or do you love him enough that you're going to do whatever you want to do? Because that's the society that we live in. And that's what society tells us we need to do. But in appreciating the fear of the Lord, he also tells us that we will have a satisfying life. I agree with that. Living a Christian life is very satisfying. Today's Mother's Day. My mother raised three boys. They're all Christians. I married Marilyn, and we've raised three children, and they're all faithful Christians. Now we've got seven grandbabies that are coming up in godly homes. And there's too many people in this world that cannot say they have grandchildren being raised in godly homes. I have a very satisfying life because I chose to serve the Lord. And I'm not saying I'm a perfect example, but when I look at the example that the world offers and what it offers in replacement of following the Lord and living in fear of the Lord, I'll take my life any day over what the world is offering. And like I say, I know it's not a perfect life. We still have our struggles. We still have our problems. But it's a very satisfying life because we're spared from so much evil in this world. He tells us in chapter 19 and verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. That doesn't mean that evil won't kick your door in tonight. But it means that you're going to be able to lay your head on your pillow tonight and rest peacefully. And he also tells us that we will enjoy riches, honor, and life. He tells us that in chapter 24 and verse 22 and verse 4. He says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Doesn't that sound wonderful? To know that if I can live in the fear of the Lord, he's going to bless me and keep me as separated from the world as possible. You remember when the devil came to the Lord and spoke to him about Job? He accused God of putting a hedge around him. Well, in a sense, when I live in a respectful fear of the Lord, he puts a hedge around me. He puts a buffer around me. And that buffer is the Word of God. But without this fear of the Lord, it's a completely different story. Because then we begin to deprive ourselves of the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. This world is filled with too many people that claim to be Christians and don't know the first thing about who Jesus is, let alone anything else about the Word of God. And without this fear of the Lord, I'm willing to flirt with evil and take the chance on being corrupted by this sinful old world. I'm going to sow my wild oats. Well, you know, there's a problem with sowing my wild oats when I'm a young person. Eventually, I've got to reap the harvest. And if I sow wild oats, then that's what I'm going to reap. The book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon looked for the meaning of life, and he said, everything is vanity. Vanity, vanity, everything is vanity. And he comes to the conclusion at the end of the book that we are to fear God and keep his commandments. This is man's all. That's his whole duty. But before that, he tells us in chapter 11 to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Remember our Creator while we're young. What does this world tell the young to do? You don't need God. Our lives are likely going to be shortened by our refusal to heed God's word. We're going to suffer from any number of diseases because that's the type of life I want to live. If I don't heed God's word about sexual relationships, we'll not come to know the love of God if I don't have that proper fear of God. And then when we have fallen into sin, we're not going to be motivated to repent and turn back to God. Instead, we're going to be motivated to continue living how we want to live. And if I live a life without the fear of the Lord, I'm not going to be motivated to truly work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Living a life with fear of the Lord is a great thing. But living a life without that fear of the Lord, that sounds quite terrible to me. Because I don't want that kind of life. So as Solomon goes on, he talks about developing this fear of the Lord. The first thing he says is that in developing this fear of the Lord, we do it through the Word of God. Just as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 verse 17. The same can be said for the fear of the Lord. In all the Old Testament passages that we read about, like in Deuteronomy 31 verses 10 through 13, Israel was to gather every 7 years to read and to hear the Word of God. Why? That they may learn to fear the Lord. Come together and hear and listen to God's Word read so that you can learn to fear the Lord. Well, evidently something didn't take. Because after Joshua and those elders died, the Bible tells us that there arose a generation that knew not God. They didn't know God, therefore they didn't fear God, therefore they lived however they wanted to live. And Moses warned them before they ever went into the promised land. And in that warning, he told them, now don't give in to the sins of the land, don't give in to the false gods of the land. And then he put a little addendum at the end of that statement. He said, but me and God know you. We know you. We know what you're going to do. So sometimes you can beat your head and beat your head against a brick wall trying to warn people, but they're going to do what they want to do sometimes. The same is true with children. But they were to come together that they may learn to fear the Lord. You know, as we read the Word of God, we ought to gain a healthy degree of fear of the Lord. For example, when we consider the words of Paul in Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, he says, Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. We need to live our lives reading the Word of God. And when we read the Word of God, we're going to learn not only about His love, but how to become reverently fearful of Him. Or how about when Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, and reserved for until the day for fire, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming day of the God of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blemish. You know, Peter uses a phrase here in this passage that the Lord's going to come back like a thief in the night. We talked about that this morning. We live in a society where you don't dare leave your doors unlocked or your windows up and unlocked, do you? But if the thief announced, "Rick, I'm coming to your house at 7:05 tonight and I'm going to rob you blind," I guarantee you Rick would be on his way home, sitting there prepared for that thief. The same would be true with anybody. If the thief announced, "Travis, I'm coming to your house, I'm going to steal you blind, I'm going to take everything you got," Travis would be there waiting on him. He'd have the police, he'd have everybody he could think of waiting to catch that guy. You'd make preparations, wouldn't you? But see, Jesus has done told us he's coming back. But the problem is, he doesn't know when God's going to send him back. So why do we live our lives without a fear of God? Why do we live our lives where we think, "Oh, I'm going to do what I want to do. I've got plenty of time." No, you don't. You don't know how much time you've got. Your life could end tonight. And you've been sowing your wild oats. The harvest has come due. What if this world ended tonight? Where would you be? "Oh, Lord, let me tell you right quick. I love you, Lord. I want to do what you say, Lord. But there's some things I need to tell you about that I need." It's too late. It's too late. You need to be living your lives now with this reverent fear of God. Put everything else in the world out of your life that is not going to lead you to heaven. Get rid of it. Whether it's family, friends, whatever the case may be, if they're preventing you from serving the Lord, get rid of it. Because you don't know when your life may end. I've got a morbid habit. Every day I get up and look online at the obituary column. I look at Murfreesboro because I remember a bunch of people over there and I see some of my customers that have died. But I look at the Shelbyville paper to see who's died. Kind of morbid sounding, isn't it? But you know, when I was in my 20s, I used to think, "Man, them people are old. They're old. They're in their 50s. They're in their 60s. They're in their 70s. And if they're in their 80s or 90s, they're ancient." But the older I get, the younger those people are. And then I see somebody that's in their 20s or in their teens. I know of a young man that had his life planned out. He was getting ready to go play college football at a small community college. He got out with a friend, flipped the truck, and it threw him out and took his life. Not even 18 years old. Death is not a respecter of persons. Neither is God. God wants you to live for Him today and from this day forward. So, do we allow the Word of God to develop a proper reverence for the Lord in our lives? Do we study it with that in mind? You know, what we need is to properly use and maintain that fear of the Lord. We do this to avoid extremes. We've got to read all of the Word of God. We can't read one passage and say, "Oh, the Lord's going to destroy the world." But over here, He's telling us, "I'm giving you time to prepare for that day." I've had people, "Oh, I need to talk about this thing called the rapture. I want to know when He's coming back." I don't know. But if you believe in the rapture, we've got other things to talk about. But the idea of the rapture is the same in what Peter has just told us. The Lord's coming back. And He's not going to announce when He's coming back. He's going to show up. Unannounced. And it's going to be time to go. You know, there are some people that only read about God's love. Like Joel Osteen, that's what he preaches. He preaches that you can live however you want to, commit whatever sin you want to, and God still loves you. But they don't read about God's judgment. and they know nothing about his loving kindness. Others read about God's judgment and know nothing about his loving kindness. And these people develop an attitude of permissiveness that belittles God's holiness and judgment. And the other develops a psychosis of terror and forgets about God's grace and compassion. And even in the passages that speak in the context of God's grace and forgiveness, we need to understand that there is still time for those to repent. Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 14. So we've got to be careful how we use the Word of God. And I'm sorry about the typo there. So, in closing, if we desire to be truly wise, then let us begin with a fear of the Lord. Understanding that fear, appreciating that fear, and developing it into our lives as children of God. Remember Acts 9, verse 31? Then all the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. I want to encourage you to read your Bible, to understand what the fear of the Lord really means, and to live your life not afraid, but with reverence toward God. To be willing to do what he says do. Well, along that line, he's told us what to do to obtain salvation. We need to be baptized. We need to hear the Word of God, believe it, repent of our sins, confess that Christ is the Son of the living God, and be baptized, and then live a faithful life. This is your opportunity if you've never done that. But if you have done that, God is still patient. He's long-suffering. Even though he's sending his Son back to judgment for judgment one day, he's still long-suffering and patient. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But if you've been baptized and you've gone back into the world, this is your opportunity as well. So if you're here tonight and you need to respond to the invitation, I encourage you to make